One thing as we review real quick is we found out that God has created us, that He has chosen to save us, and He has called us to be God's work, His workmanship, that He's prepared beforehand to do good works. And He has shaped us in a way in order that we can bring glory to Him through our shape. So as we study our ministry and shape, we're going to go ahead and see that we will discover our shape and we will discover our ministry. And we talked about how do we use our shape in different areas. And we say chow, C-H-O-W, the church, the home, our occupation, and the world. That's how we want to be glorifying God. And when we talk about this special acronym, shape, we see that it means our spiritual gifts, our heart, which we'll talk about today, our abilities, our personality, and our experiences. So, reviewing, why do we need to discover our shape in our ministry? Number one, so we can bring glory to God. That's our number one goal. And number two, so we can best serve God. This will help us to know best areas on how to serve God. And last of all, how we can best invest our life. Best invest our life for the kingdom of God and the way that He has shaped us to do that. So we won't waste anything. Last week we talked about spiritual gifts, how in the Bible these are called gifts of grace. And God has graced us and blessed us in different ways with spiritual gifts. And we talked about every believer has at least one spiritual gift, and so how do we use those? And these are ministry tools for the number one purpose of building up the church, okay? Encouraging the church to glorify God and His kingdom, to bring His kingdom. And we talked about all of these different gifts. And then in our adult Sunday school group, which the high school got to join us, we looked at some of those different spiritual gifts. Today, we're moving on to the SH. What is the H? Okay, our heart. Okay, but it's a little bit different. We're not talking just about this biological organ here that pumps blood to the extremities of our body, which if you're really tall and long like me, in the winter, the blood doesn't get all the way out to the toes and the fingers, so you're a little cold, okay? But the passion that begins in your heart, if you exercise, then it gets all the way out to your hands and your feet. And some of us, we need to get that heart pumping a little bit more, okay? And we need to understand what we have a heart for. And I really hope that overall our heart will beat for Jesus. Okay? Thank you. There we go. Our heart. Matthew 6:21 talks a little bit about the heart. The Bible talks a lot about the heart. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay? What is your treasure? Also says, as water reflects a face, okay, I know you guys are thinking about that Lion King, right? Where they have a romantic scene and they're looking in the water. Okay. As the water reflects the face, so a man's heart reflects a man. Okay. Your heart, what you are passionate about and what is the center of your life is your heart. What you're passionate about, the center of your life, what intrigues you, what gets your blood pumping. So, the heart is about... Oh, I'm sorry. I went too fast. Got to back up one. We think about what motivates you. We think about what you're passionate about. We answer questions about the heart like this. What do I really enjoy doing the most? What do you enjoy doing the most? And we'll talk about some of these later because I know what you're thinking right now. When do I feel the most fully alive? What am I doing when I lose track of time? Okay? So, we're going to look at two signals that signal we're passionate or we have a heart for something. The first one is enthusiasm. What do you get excited about? What gets your heart pumping? Things that you don't need a payment for, you don't need applause for, you just love doing it. Okay? I thought about some people in our church. Christopher Yoder. He loves music. Okay? Maybe he loves games even more. Board games. So he organizes fellowship so guys can come and play games. It's a bit of his heart, his passion. Some of you know Michelle, Cliff's sister. She has a passion to see ladies released from oppression overseas, from sex trafficking. And so she spent last summer, she's taking this summer to go and invest her life to see these ladies set free. Myself, I have a lot of different passions. I'll talk about some later. But one is basketball. Okay, March Madness for me is just awesome. I love it. When I was overseas, I tried to find every internet feed I could find because it just wasn't on TV. They show NBA, they don't show college. Okay, unless you got all the channel, you know. I love basketball. And what I found is I love coaching basketball even more. So I signed up for my little boys' coaching team. I wasn't the head coach, I was assistant coach. But I loved getting ready for that. I listed a whole schedule of what the kids needed to do. And then I went to practice, I forgot the schedule. But I still had it in my mind. I would get down and show them, you need to get down and play defense. Get your foundation down. Come on! You know, so I'm getting pumped up and then I'm going home and I'm like, oh, I am sore. You know, I can't do that. I'd run with the kids. So I really have a passion for basketball and it was great to take some of those games, pray for the kids, encourage the kids. We had one little girl. She didn't really know anything about basketball. I mean, we're playing the game, and all of a sudden, you know, how many people are on a basketball team? Okay, a lot, but when you play on the floor, five, okay? And all of a sudden we're playing, and I'm like, one, two, three, four. Four. Where'd she go? She's gone. And all of a sudden I see her come back, and yeah, I needed a drink. I was thirsty. Well, you can't leave the game like that. I'm like, yeah, stick in it. She says, I was tired. I was sweating like a pig. I didn't want to play. I was like, I know, but exercise is good. And I'm all pumped up for her. Things we get passionate about. Now, an interesting thing is Christianity and excitement. Right? No. Yes, no. We have different views on this. Being passionate about Jesus, a lot of times in church, somehow we've developed an understanding that they don't go together. Somehow we, especially as Asian church, we developed that calmness equals control. And I'm looking at you right now, and I see everyone is in total control of their life. And that's definitely biblical, right? Jesus says you should be totally in control of your life. Or at least He should be totally in control of your life. So then when we think about that, we think, well, maybe sometimes He's encouraging you to be passionate for Him. I would just like to say to you, it's okay to be excited about Jesus. It's okay to lift your hands to Jesus in worship or sing out loud and be off key. Okay? It's not great, but it's okay to be passionate for Jesus. Of course, I also have to say that sometimes our passion becomes out of control in a negative way. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. First signal that we have a heart for something is we're enthusiastic about it. The second signal is that you have effectiveness in that area. If you really like to do something, more than likely you'll do it so much, you'll get good at it. You'll start to produce fruit. You'll do it well. Okay? When I coached basketball, they actually got better. You know? Praise God. Joseph is passionate about cars. When he fixes cars, they get better. If the Woos drove their white minivan today, testimony. It's running. He helped in a part of getting it running. Okay? You become effective. I have a heart for seeing people set free. I was in Taiwan. I saw people in bondage, some serious stuff. God has given me a gift somehow of understanding, discernment, of counseling people. Another passion I have is for men. I just see a lot of men just really not engaged in life. And if they're Christians, they're really not engaging Jesus in their life. And so I have a passion to see men conquer their fears, conquer their sins. I have a passion to see men grow up, to encourage other men, to see them be fathers for Jesus, to see them be great husbands for Jesus. And I believe that a lot of times men just have not had any encouragement in that area. Basically, their dads are pretty much, shh, don't talk, unless it's a ball game. Dads don't share with their sons. So the sons grow up to be men and they're scratching their head going, what do I do? You know, my dad was a Christian, but I really didn't see much going on. How do I live that life? And so I have a lot of men's groups that I meet with. And we just had one that I came out of, and the guy, we just started for the first time. He's like, man, I don't know what happened, but after the group, things got better. But happened to be effective. That my passion becomes effective for other people to help them live wholeheartedly for God. It's interesting that my father, he had two jobs for most of his life. One was his heart. He had a job that was his heart. He was a farmer. He loved farming. The second one was his headache. He was a power electrician. He was the guy that fixed the power lines. So if you have a storm, power goes out, he's the guy that's out in the storm fixing it. His headache was really much that power line experience. Management, conflicts, stress. He would just come home. It wasn't good a lot of times. But I really appreciate that he did that for his family and his sacrifice. But really his heart was farming. This guy, when planting season came around, or harvest, he'd get up 4 o'clock, 4:30. He was pumped, ready to go. I seen the guy, he wouldn't just walk and get into the tractor. He would run and jump up and get in. I seen one time where I was with him and the combine broke down and he had to get into a real tight spot. He's trying to get his tool in there, you know, and he's pumped up and he wants to get the harvest off. So he can't get his tool in there. So he sticks his finger in it, punctures through his thumb, fixes the cotter key, pulls it out bleeding, says, let's go. I was like, that's gross. But that is cool. That is cool. He was passionate about it. But you know what? A lot of times when you're passionate about something, people don't understand you. They don't understand. They don't see your heart. And you know what? For myself and my dad's farming passion, his heart, it was my headache. Kurt, get up. It's time to farm. Okay, good. 16 hours. Time to go to bed. He asked me to do things. I was a scrawny little kid with this huge machinery. I couldn't do it. I remember saying, you know, they would talk about, farming's not going well. We're not getting, you know, much money. And so I'd be like, man, Dad, what's up? You want to do this? And I actually called him, you're stupid. Don't say that to your mom and dad. I did. I said, that's just stupid. You're not getting much money. That's the difference. It doesn't matter about how much money he was getting, right? That's his passion. That's his heart. You know, a lot of times people won't understand your heart. Some of you come to church, your mom and dad don't come. Your dad doesn't come. Why do you come to church? That's dumb. Why do you worship Jesus? They don't understand. For some of you, giving money to people you don't even know in Japan or to orphans or whatever. How do you do that? It's your heart. It's your passion. Some of you become doctors or engineers, whatever, and you'll go overseas to serve someone, not getting paid a dime for it, but actually having to raise money to go do it. Why do you do that? I don't understand. A lot of times people will not understand your heart. And that's why we have to remember, with our passion, with our heart, we always have to have two driving factors. God's love and Christ. They have to be the drivers of our passion and our heart. So we always have to ask two questions when it comes to our passion and heart. Am I acting in love? Am I acting in love? And two, is Jesus the Lord of that passion? Is He the one that's in control of it? You know, 9 years ago, when I grew up and I was married and I was going to a retreat, and the Lord brought back to my mind my dad's passion and the way I interacted with him, I was convicted. The way I spoke to my dad wasn't appropriate. That the headache that I had was different than the heart that he had. And God showed me this verse from 1 Corinthians 13. Remember how we were talking about that last week? 1 Corinthians about love, right? Love. Spiritual gifts. But it reminded me in this aspect, it says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish ways. Now we see but a poor reflection in his mirror, and then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even in life as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. These have to be the governing points of our passion and heart. Now, a lot of us, we get passionate about different things. Food. Okay? You guys see the buffet? You guys travel many, many, many miles to get to that good buffet. And you get passionate about it. And you get there and it's closed. Anger boils in your heart. I'm going to write them a note. I'm going to send them an email. I'm going to call them on the phone. You need to be open on Monday morning at 7 a.m. I was there ready. Your passion. Some of you get passionate about sports. I mean, you are jumping around, going crazy. I do it. But when it comes to worshiping Jesus, man, could I find any passion for Jesus anywhere? Politics. Some of you watch every political show you can get your hands on. You are intensely about this. Now, I'm not saying this is wrong. It can be good. I'm saying, are these your governing factors? I see some people, they get emails. They get more passionate about an email they get than when they come here on Sunday to worship Jesus. They will spend more energy, more time, more of everything they ever had responding to an email than they would spending with Jesus. Again, what governs your heart? Theology. Theology all of a sudden can get bent out of shape. That man was destined to come here on this day and be saved. Destined. No, he had a choice. Let's wrestle. And all of a sudden it's like the UFC about theology. Passionate more about that than Jesus. Now we're talking about our heart and passion today. God has given it to us. It is good. But we're asking, do these things govern it? Are we asking the question, am I acting in love? Am I acting in love? And is Jesus the Lord over all of it? Now, when we come to our passion and desires, there's two different things we have to do at two different times. You know, like, when one time we went over here to this Table Rock and we were driving up through the mountains and stuff, and you're ever on a windy road, you know, sometimes you got to be braking, right? And you start to smell the fumes of the brake, okay? And sometimes you need to be accelerating up the hill. The same is with our heart and passion. Sometimes you need to be surrendering your passion to God, stopping it for a second, handing it over, and sometimes you need to be surging forward. Sometimes our passion, our heart, takes the place of Jesus. Jesus has actually given you that heart and that passion, but all of a sudden it just moves Him out of the way. I'm taking over now. And this passion is going to be everything. So we need to surrender. And sometimes you have a passionate heart, but you're hiding. You're not doing anything, and you need to be surging forward. There's an interesting account about King David in 1 Chronicles 21, 1 through 2. And it says this. I think maybe I got this up here. Yeah. It says, Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. So David said to Joab and the commanders of the troops, go and count the Israelites from Beersheba to Dan, and report back to me, so that I may know how many there are. How many men do I have? How much power do I have? What does my kingdom look like? And we find out later that then David realizes that he's used this in the wrong way. He says to God, I've sinned greatly by doing this. Now I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I've done a very foolish thing. And because of the sin, the Lord gave him then three consequences. And He said, you can either have 3 years of famine, you can have 3 months of being swept away before your enemies, or 3 days of the sword of the Lord, the days of plagues. So David chooses to fall in the hands of the Lord, the plagues. And it says here, so the Lord sent a plague on Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell dead. It's interesting how Satan knew how to sort of incite and work in his passion. The power and prestige, I will see how large and big my kingdom is. And then it caused destruction. And a lot of times the same thing it's happened in my life. And I've used my passion in the wrong way. It hasn't been under love or Christ. And it's caused destruction. And I've looked back and said, man, what a foolish thing I've done. And in these situations, we need to really say, Lord, I surrender this to You. I'm not going to act on that. I'm going to put it on the altar before You. And will allow You to work and take care of things. Our response I really like in Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. Delight. Commit. Surrender, commit, surrender, and trust. Surrendering and giving our passion to the Lord. And I think in this area, we need a lot of wisdom. When do I surrender, Lord? And when do I surge forward? How do I do that? You know, Saul had a passion, or at least the fault of pleasing people. And he unfortunately surged forward with that. The Lord took the kingdom away from him when he should have been surrendering. Solomon had a passion for women. He should have been surrendering that to the Lord. I don't know about Judas, his passion to see Jesus come into power or for money, but he should have been surrendering that. Do we surrender or do we surge? Now, David is a man that we learn really had a heart for God. His passion was for worship. That's why we get all of these psalms, many of the psalms written by David. He had a heart for God, a passion for God to worship Him. He wasn't perfect, we know that. But that was one of his passions. And in 2 Samuel chapter 6, we see an interesting account that out of his passion, he wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of a deep relationship and love for God, into Jerusalem where he's at. He's saying, I want God, I want to be near God, I want His presence to be with me, and I want to worship Him. So he gets a cart, and he sticks the covenant, or the Ark of the Covenant on the cart, and he's going to bring it to Jerusalem, and it starts to tip, and Uzzah sticks up his hand and levels it out, and Uzzah is struck down. And we end this little section that says that David was basically, he was angry. Says that he was confused. Why did this happen? And he was a little bit in a sense of fear. But his passion was still to love God and to be close to God. So it says right after that, he tries it again. But this time he plans. This time he prepares. This time I believe he really put it under the Lordship of God. He got the sacrifices ready, the Levites ready, and he puts his passion and harnesses it correctly, and he brings up the Ark of God. And this is what it says. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might. He's not wearing much, and he's dancing. And while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts, shouts, they're not watching a basketball game here. They're watching God coming up and sounds of trumpets. As the Ark of the Lord, verse here now, as the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, this is David's wife at the time, one of them, watched from a window, and when she saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she rejoiced with him. She understood his passion. She was right there with him. You and me, David, we will worship Jesus together. No. But she despised his heart. The very passion he had. She didn't get it. She didn't understand. Verses later, when David returned home to bless his household, he had a talk with his wife. Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, just roaming in the sight of the slave girls of the servants, as any vulgar fellow would do." David said to Michal, "I would celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes." How about you? Your passion, your love for Jesus. And we're making the connection here. And we're using our heart and our passion to bring glory to God. Would you become a bit more undignified to use your heart and passion for Him? To take that step out in front of maybe your friend, maybe your mom or dad, maybe a multitude of people, and say, "I will dance before the Lord with my passion. I will become undignified before the Lord. I know people will despise me. I know people won't understand. But in this, I'm going to surge forward." God, give us wisdom to know if we should surge or if we should surrender. You know, passion in your heart for Jesus, it can be a dangerous thing. If it's under the lordship of yourself, under the lordship possibly of Satan, it can become very evil. But if you put it under the lordship of Jesus, and you allow Him to ask you those questions, are you doing it in love? Am I the Lord of it? Should I surge forward? Should I surrender? And He speaks to you. It can be used in a wonderful, wonderful way. I just want you to take a moment right now and to think to yourself, what am I passionate about? What is my heart? Do I use that for the Lord? Ask these questions. Am I acting in love with my passion? Is Jesus really the Lord of that heart of mine? Asking the question, do I need to surrender right now? Am I running ahead of the Lord and He can't even catch up? He's not even the Lord of it? Or do I need to more surge because I'm stepping back? I'm hiding. People don't understand. I'm being despised and criticized. Let's just bow our head right now. For some of you, you need to write this down. On your outline or wherever, I really feel like God has given me this passion. Some of you know that passion in your heart and you need to answer those questions. Lord, is love governing me? Lord, are you seriously just the Lord of everything? Some of you believe it's a passion that Jesus is Lord of, but He's really not. And He's asking you to surrender it to Him. And for some of you, He's asking you to continue to surge forward. You've gotten discouraged. People have said things to you. They've spent more energy talking to you and trying to promote their own agenda. And so now you're discouraged, but God's still saying, surge forward. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us discernment. Speak to us now. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that we can come into your house today and worship you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God, help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. God, with all that we are, we want to serve you. And so, Lord, continue to shape us, mold us, make us more like you, God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.